Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure. You just tuned in. Welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Ted Fishman is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. You know, something I haven't dwelled on in the past, folks, when I've introduced Ted, is the fact that he actually owned his own trading firm on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the commodities exchange up there in Chicago. So obviously, you know, the guy's got nerves of steel. I mean, you know, this is the kind of guy you want to, you know, if you're going to be attacked, you want a guy like Ted next to you. Anybody who can be a floor trader on the commodities floor has got to be something. He's also a journalist. He writes about many things now, but lately he's been writing a lot about China, and his book China Inc. is one that I've come to really appreciate. It has become a very important document for anybody who's interested in global trade, especially working with China. And he's working on a new book that we're going to weave into our discussion a little bit today. Ted Fishman, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. So glad to be with you.
It's good to have you back. So what do you think about you got to have nerves of steel to be a commodities trader.
Nerves of steel. Unfortunately, I didn't have vocal cords of steel. You know, I would come home and I would sound like Luca Brasi. I have to say, I have a much more dulcet tone since I gave up my trading days.
Do you miss that at all?
I miss it when the markets are going crazy, but when they're going sideways, I'd rather be doing my own thing.
They either need to be going up or down, right?
That's right.
Are you still trading at all on your own like that?
No, you know, it's something I really feel like it's something you have to really make your entire job about.
Right,
otherwise,
right.
The professionals are working all around you.
What made you decide to get out?
I was bringing home too much tension, I think. And I had a job that had a vocabulary that none of the people I cared about too much could connect to, and
right.
I would come home and it wasn't about making anything or creating anything. It was just, did I make money? Did I lose money? You know, it's a job where you have no customers, you have no products you ever
right.
see.
Right.
And also, you know, the pit that I was in at the time, you know, in kind of a foreshadowing events today, you know, I sometimes felt I was the dumbest person on the trading floor because I showed up one day and, you know, many of the people I trade with every day were indicted and were gone.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, my God, I must be so stupid. you know, not only did they think I was too dumb to be part of their plot, but I didn't even know it was going on. And then, yeah, then you read something like the Madoff thing, and it's like,
right.
you know, smart people have an infinite capacity to be dumb about money
exactly.
or who they're dealing with. You know?
Exactly. Somebody, who was it? Dan Henniger, I think, yesterday wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal that says, you know, this year, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. Well, let's
or
talk
don't
about
be too smart. You know, sometimes
yeah.
being too smart. You know.
Yeah, exactly. He's too cute by half, I think, is
yeah.
what happened. Let's talk about demographics. I know that's one of the things that you're working on. You're working on a new book on demographics, and let's talk about some of the things that are happening. First, give us a report on what you think is happening in China right now with the economy, how that's going to impact us. And then I want to weave into this the impact of the demographics of China and the United States and how that's going to ultimately affect the marketplace. But first, give us a report. Their economy is off enough in China that the government actually has created a stimulus package.
Yeah, it's hard to know when the Chinese government says it's spending on something, whether it's just repackaging spending that it's already committed to. So there is this $600 billion package that the Chinese government is going to roll out for what it says is business stimulation, infrastructure, general national improvement to create jobs. And Jim, this too is a demographic story, because what's happening in China now is that the failure rate of businesses, factories in particular, the kinds of factories that have been China's export strength, are closing by the tens
really?
Of thousands. And,
what?
Tens of thousands and tens of millions of people are heading out of the factory back to their
home
towns. It's a political crisis in China.
That sounds like a revolutionary potential nightmare.
Well, it's very much on the government's watch, and this is why they're spending this money.
Tens of thousands
of factories,
Factories are closing. Not a few hundred or so, like we got in the United States, maybe, but tens of thousands, and millions of people are becoming unemployed.
Well, as you know, the Chinese New Year is the week of the year where more people travel than any other, and that's coming in a couple of weeks. But factories have sent their workers home early, and the workers, many, do not expect to come back.
Wow. That's news, folks. We haven't been hearing that in the regular news. You got to listen to the Small Business Advocate Show to get this kind of important information. 2012, stay with us. Everybody's blue when they lonesome.
To my love, took it down.
Little Stevie Nicks bringing us back.
And I turned around.
Lead singer of Fleetwood Mac, one of the lead singers. 17 Till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, askjim.biz, that's my knowledge base, jimsblog.biz, that's my blog. But if you'll just go to smallbusinessadvocate.com, you can find everything there, including the ability to subscribe to my free newsletter, which we'll send you every week on Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. It comes by email. It's free. And all the other free things there on my website, thousands of articles, thousands of archives, thousands of Brain Trust members, the largest community of small business experts in the world, all there for you to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including our good friend Ted Fishman right now, who's with us, the author of China Inc. And we're talking about what's happening in China. Ted always brings us basically news that you won't get anywhere else on what's happening in China. He's just deposited a shocker with us just a few minutes ago about all the thousands of factories that have gone under, that are closed up in China, and the millions, the tens of millions of people who are now out of work. Ted, what's this going to mean for our relationship with China? What are some of the unintended consequences of all this that could happen?
Well, it unravels some of the progress that we've made in creating a fair playing field with China. We've been working so hard as a nation to get China's currency to get revalued up, so its currency would be more valuable, so their goods wouldn't be such low cost. So we worked so hard for China to eliminate the value-added tax that rebates to Chinese manufacturers money when they send goods abroad.
Right.
These were all of the embers under China's export economy, and they were going out as China tried to make higher and higher value goods and have its economy look more like the Japanese economy. Well, now it's desperate to export again, so it wants its currency to go back down. It's reinstituted the value-added tax that rebates back to manufacturers, and it's rolling back the clock, and it's recreating the most intense part of the competition between the United States and China. And it will make China, again, irresistible to American companies looking for their low-cost solution out of their own financial crisis now.
Well, and the dollar is going down, too, isn't it? The value of the dollar is lowering again.
It's going down against the yen. It's kind of creeping up against the euro, and it's creeping up against the Chinese currency.
So how's all this going to manifest then? Is it going to be rougher, going to be tougher on our own exports? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think, you know, we have $1 trillion of stimulus going into our economy, and we don't know what kind of strings the government's going to attach to that or how it's going to trickle through the system quite yet. But I always think, you know, one of the things I argued in China Inc. is good times and bad both make China attractive to people who want to export American jobs and production. Because when times are good, you want to capture the Chinese market. And when times are bad, you want to capture the cheap Chinese labor.
Right.
And what we really have to do is create industries here which will create a business ecosystem that can't be exported so easily.
Right. And what would that be? Would that be the green jobs that Obama's talking about?
That could be great. You know, if the green jobs is our space shuttle of the future and no one else can make this, energy space shuttle, and I only mean that metaphorically, then that will be the kind of thing that will excite people to go into engineering, which is almost impossible task now.
Right.
We have critical infrastructure in our country which you cannot outsource, like the power grid, power station,
right,
and so on.
Right.
You can't get young people to walk into those jobs today. They
mm-hmm.
simply don't. They're high-paying jobs, but they see them as dark, dirty, dangerous,
right,
unsexy jobs. But
20th-century jobs.
Yeah, 20th-century, 19th-century jobs. You know, here's your Bessemer
right.
furnace.
Right.
But if you can, you know, do for the energy sector what Bill Gates did 20 years ago with the tech sector, then
right.
you'll get our smartest people going into these fields and not into Wall Street.
I've been saying for a long time, several years now, that the key to the United States' viability and relevance in the 21st century, and it's really continued leadership of the global marketplace, is going to be in alternative energy. And there's no other country in the world but the United States who could actually step into that role right now, and we're way behind already.
Well, you know, when you see what factories are starting and what... There's two sectors that are starting factories and expanding factories in the United States. One is defense industry, and we know the reason for that, and the other are European leaders in alternate energy technology, because they
mm-hmm.
know that the United States is going to insist that what we buy for our energy system is going to have local content.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
And that will create local jobs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Kim, I'm sorry, Ted. Kim was last segment. Ted, talk to us about this, the demographic stuff that you've been working on. Blend that into our conversation. The Chinese have actually had a law. They passed a law, one child, right?
Absolutely.
And how are those chickens coming home to roost right now?
Well, this whole demographic inquiry to me is inspired by this Chinese law and the effects in China, where, you know, in the early 1980s, the Chinese government said, you know, every family can have one child, and then it began market reform. So at the very same time that families shrunk, you had this huge incentive to send children to the cities where they could work in their most productive years of their life, and the parents stayed home. So you created these super centers in China of young people,
mm-hmm.
and then you had $1 trillion of capital from Europe, from America, from the rest of Asia going into China and employing these smart, energetic young people in these new cities that had 15, 20 million people in the prime of life, and it created
right.
the world's huge market for youth. And that changes the way old people in our country work. If you're a worker 50, you're competing with somebody who's been sent by their family
mm-hmm.
to work in a Chinese city.
They're not even living with their family. They haven't seen their family. Maybe they see them once a year or something like that.
They'll bring mom and dad back when they have kids, and they need them to be their caretakers.
Exactly, yeah. Ted's going to weave all this new information on China demographics into our own demographics after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, little Atlanta Rhythm section, bringing us back ARS. Ted Fishman is our guest. He's our good friend. He's the author of China Inc. Ted, give us your website, please. Tell us where your book's available.
Books available everywhere, chinainc-book.com. And it's due for refreshing pretty soon. I'm working on it, so I'm excited
good.
About that, too.
And is it out in paperback now?
It's out in paperback. The sad news for everyone, which is the credit crisis, has been good news for the book, because there's a bit in it that kind of offered the blueprint for what would happen, and now it looks like history.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Now, you've been a visionary on so many things. It's one of the reasons why we're so fortunate to have your voice as a part of our brain trust, Ed.
We
appreciate you very much. We're talking about now China demographics, how it impacts American demographics, how it's impacting our own economy. Continue your thought there, Ted.
Well, when you have, you know, a few hundred million new people entering the industrial workforce at a 40th of the wage of what Americans get paid.
The Chinese.
Then it challenges workers on every front. And what we've seen over the last 6 years is that one sector after another, from the lowest rung on manufacturing all the way up to the most sophisticated, jobs have been moving abroad. And right now the biggest challenge is how do we replace the American baby boomers and the people just a little bit older than the boomers, how do we replace them in the workforce when, mm-hmm. you know, 40% of them are within 10 or 15 years of retirement?
Right.
Replace them in jobs that are easily replaced by people overseas, many of them, and instead replace them with people here. And the only way you can do that is by giving young people incentives to work in industries like our power grid, where mm-hmm. we really need them, work in industries like defense industries, where we really need them. But in many of these essential infrastructure sectors of our economy, which incidentally are often in manufacturing, there are missing generations of workers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's deeper than that. When you go to our universities that train them, there are missing generations of professors. Mm-hmm. The top power program in the United States, and there's no more critical infrastructure in our country than our power grid.
Why has this happened?
There's only three or four professors teaching this.
Why has this happened?
I think it's happened because you know, several things. One is there's been massive industrial consolidation in some of these over time. So mm-hmm. in the 90s, there were huge layoffs in these sectors. And if you were a kid looking at the future, you don't want to pick a job in which, you know, most of the people in the generation above you are getting laid off and the senior people are getting to stay around. You feel like, oh, I'm entering an industry in which there are a lot of old goats around.
Right. Right.
And it's very hard to create a multi-generational workforce in which not only are you matching young people with older people, but the older people are one or two generations above them in the workforce, and the generation in between is missing.
And haven't these industries and these disciplines had gotten some really bad PR over the last 20, 30 years unnecessarily that's created some of this absence?
Well, it's very hard to go to a cocktail party with young adults, you know, including the man or woman you want to woo into your life, and say, you know, I work for this dirty smokestack.
Yeah, I work for a coal factory, coal-fired steam plant or something. Yeah, it's unfortunate. But Ted, in the last minute and a half or so that we have, how do you see all this rolling out over the next year or so? What do you think is going to be the relationship between China and America in the next 12 to 24 months?
Well, I think what's going to happen is that we are going to be very surprised that all of the stimulus money that goes into our economy is going to be looked at very carefully by industry, and they're going to be looking for China solutions in which they can use that money for. Mm. And unless we as a country keep an eye on that, we are going to be blindsided.
You're saying the stimulus money is going to get exported to China?
I think so, because when people look at how they can downsize in their plants, they're going to be looking at ways where they can replace that production with far
wow.
cheaper production. And if you look at the way the bank money was spent, it was supposed to go into
right.
the pipeline for loans,
it didn't.
And banks started using it to buy banks.
And you're saying a similar kind of thing will happen in the manufacturing sector.
Unless we're careful.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be very interesting. Ted, you always have such great insights. And you bring us things that we would never have thought of before, and unfortunately, some of them are kind of scary. But I'm glad you're revealing them to us. I want to stay close to you this year. Will you come back a little more often this year and
Delighted.
Help us with this?
Of course.
Because I want to keep up with your demographic studies too, and because I think that's very interesting, very important for small businesses. Thanks, Ted, for being here. Ted Fishman, ladies and gentlemen, he is the best. China Inc. By the way, don't forget to check out that book. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Have a great weekend.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.